while we were disappointed that that bill ended up dying, the next day we felt very re-energized that we're pushing forward with a healthier and safer Colorado. Just because it died in the kill committee doesn't mean that this is dead for us. We know that we need this in our community, and we'll continue to push forward not only with the state of Colorado, but with the city of Denver as well.
How are the staff and the clients of your Harm Reduction Action Center feeling about the indefinite postponement of the supervised use site?
There was some initial disappointment, I'm not going to lie. However, we felt very, very energized by all the folks that came out in support. There were over 25 people that testified in support for the supervised use site bill and only one person in opposition. So we had business leaders, the Attorney General's office, moms, drug users, people in recovery, the treatment community, the faith community. They all came together and said, we need a supervised use site in our community for a healthier and safer Colorado. So we were very energized about that. We continue to have conversations every day in every way with folks in our community, neighbors, and other businesses and things like that. And so it's not over. It ain't over till it's over.
So will you try again?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We may try to see if there's a way that we could potentially get a bill even this session, because the 2019 legislative session is too long to wait. Delays mean death, and I know we can do better.
Are there plans in the immediate future to create more treatment centers or harm reduction centers in Denver?
I know that there is some money funneling through the state to allow more treatment options, so obviously we're very supportive to that. No one in the state of Colorado can get into substance abuse treatment today. It's impossible, so we're really wanting to be supportive to those efforts. As far as syringe access programs, there's 9 syringe access programs in the state of Colorado, 2 in Denver, 2 in Boulder, 1 in Fort Collins, 1 in Grand Junction, 1 in Pueblo, 1 in Lakewood, and 1 in Aurora. So at this time, Alamosa may be starting one here in the next few weeks, but I don't know of any others that are pushing forward at this time.
How have you seen the closing of Arapaho House? How has it impacted you and your work?
That's where we had referred people to inpatient treatment. So we found out, just like everybody else, through the media on December 15th that their last day would be January 2nd. So I know that there was a big scramble for other treatment providers to try to take on some of the burden of the 7 locations closing. We did feel really great that they were able to, Mile High Behavioral Health was able to swoop in and gain access to the Aspen Center, which is for pregnant moms and new moms. That was a very, very important opportunity for our folks in the community.
How is Denver trying to decrease deaths due to opioid use?
Well, in a number of ways. So first and foremost, drug users need to have access to naloxone or Narcan. It saves somebody's life in the event of an opioid overdose. We also know that third parties can have access, so people around people at risk of an opioid overdose. So there's 430 pharmacies today in the state of Colorado that folks can access naloxone virtually over the counter. So many are participating in the Denver area. We also know that there's 5 county jails that train heroin injection drug users in jail how to recognize and respond to an overdose and putting that in their property for upon release. Folks leaving incarceration are 129 times more likely to die post-incarceration of an overdose than the general population. And Denver County Jail was the first one to start that. So currently it's Arapaho, Boulder, Denver, Douglas, and Jefferson County jails. And then law enforcement has access to naloxone or Narcan as well. Denver Police Department was the first in the state, and we know that there's 158 law enforcement departments in the state currently carrying naloxone. So that's been very powerful as well.
Do you know how opioid use is different in urban areas compared to rural areas across Colorado?
You know, we have black tar heroin in Colorado, which is difficult to snort and expensive to smoke, so you almost have to exclusively inject it. So there really isn't any difference between urban and rural areas. Heroin is everywhere. We want to make sure that folks are healthier and safer today. What we're pushing forward with a supervised use site is primarily in urban areas where people, when they're homeless, either publicly inject outside in an alley, in a park, or in a business bathroom. In rural areas, it's a little easier for them to inject without being seen. So we continue to try to push forward for a supervised use site for Denver. I think what really works for a lot of folks today, we have prevention and we have the treatment and we have the criminalization of drug users. What I'm simply talking about today is the life in the middle. In a very magical world, there would be no drugs, but we live here and there's one safe thing that folks can do today. And I think we can all agree if stigma, shame, and incarceration worked with drug use, we'd have wrapped this up years ago. All it's done is drive use underground, where people have gotten preventable chronic diseases such as HIV, hepatitis C, and died of overdose. So we're doing something different. And I can't have anybody else die of overdose. We are all done with that. And so I'm trying to push forward for a healthier and safer community by pushing forward with a supervised use site.
Well, Lisa, thank you so much for joining us on KGNU.
Absolutely. Thank you.
For KGNU, I'm Emma Gibson.